Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Glory to God forever. Well, we've started a series here titled Living in the Last Days. Living in the last days. And for a text, we were looking over at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Why don't we just turn there again this morning? 2 Timothy, the third chapter. It says in verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come." Notice that. The last days. We talked about last time how the last days begin. Remember, it's not just one day, it's not the last day, it's the last days. And so the last days begin on the day of Pentecost, when the church age began. You remember when Peter stood up to preach, and he said, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh." And he was describing what they were experiencing right there at that moment. God was, at that moment, pouring out his spirit upon them. And he said, so this is a sign of the last days. This outpouring signifies the last days. So the last days are still in progress. And we are in what we would call the last of the last days. So there is an end to all things. There's an end to all things as we have known them. And so things are getting wrapped up here on the earth because there needs to be an end of sin. There needs to be an end of the devil. How many people are looking forward to the end of the devil? Can you imagine that? I mean, we've known the devil our whole lives. You know? I mean, he has sung to us. He has sung all kinds of heavy metal music to us. And he has entertained us. He has gotten in our thoughts. He's followed us home after church to harass us. I mean, we are very acquainted with the devil. I mean, what is it going to be like with life without him? I mean, that is an amazing, profound thought if you really stop and dwell on it. All of a sudden, boom, he's going to be gone. This guy that's been hanging out with you all your life. You haven't been able to shake him anywhere you've gone. I mean, you might shake him off for a little while, but there he comes right back again. And we're going into a time where there's going to be no more devil. No more devil. Glory to God. That's something to celebrate. I said, that's something to celebrate. Get excited about. So there's an end of things because there needs to be an end of the devil. The devil needs to be put to an end. There needs to be an end to the era of sin. The time of sin will be no more. There'll be no more sinning against God. Wow. What a time that's going to be. And it's going to be. We're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it throughout all eternity. No devil, no sin, just righteousness. No corruptible flesh, no bodies pulling us towards things that are contrary to God. No longer. Our bodies are going to be as saved as our spirits are saved. No more sin. Praise God. So I'm looking forward to the end, aren't you? I'm looking to the end. I'm looking forward to the end of these things and the beginning of a brand new time with God. And so, but we are living in the last days, the end times, and things are wrapping up. It's telling, the signs of the times are telling us that it's getting close. It's getting close to the removal of these things of sin and the devil will soon be cast into the lake of fire. To be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's another thing once in a while I just ponder on. I just think, my Lord, can you imagine that? To be tormented day and night, forever and ever. There's folks that have had such trouble with that that they just don't believe it could possibly be. They've tried to twist the scriptures to make it say something that it's not. And that Jesus really wasn't talking about a literal hell and a place of torment. I mean, God is not that. He's just not that bad of a God. Well, my Bible says in the book of Romans to behold the goodness and severity of God. God is that severe of a judge. He is severe. His judgments are very severe. So as equally wonderful that he is equally severe. As amazingly wonderful that he is equally as severe. Heaven, we can't fully grasp how wonderful heaven is and what it's going to be like to stand in the presence of God without any veils, without anything hindering us from experiencing him. Just standing in the presence of the fullness of the love of God. I mean, the goodness goes beyond anything we can really fully comprehend down here on earth. Well, see, it's the same way on the negative side of that. His severity is very severe, a lake of fire to be tormented day and night. I don't know how you could twist that scripture. It's pretty clear. Tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It goes on forever and ever and ever, and you and I have escaped it. We have escaped it. Glory to God. And the more we think about the reality of these things, the more we should not only be thankful, but the more we should want to help others escape and pull them out of the fires of hell and free them from a life of sin and death. We want to rescue people. This is serious stuff. Eternity is serious, serious stuff because it's forever. It's forever. So we're living in the last times, and he says in chapter 3, verse 1, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Now that word perilous there, when you look it up in the Greek, it means hard to bear. Hard to bear. Troublesome. Dangerous. Harsh. Fierce. Savage. Now I thought that word was pretty interesting. Savage. As we see things getting wrapped up, as we see sin coming to the place of fullness where it'll be taken and destroyed forever, people's behavior is going to get worse and worse and worse. People are going to be savage, fierce. He goes on here, verse 2. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. Another translation says for that word unloving, without natural affection. Without natural affection. There's folks, they aren't even going to have any just natural affection for their parents, their family, their children, or anybody else's for that matter. Just callous, cold, indifferent, unfeeling. And we see that happening. We see in our time the increase of these things. We see people. I mean, throughout history, the history of the earth, there's always been people like, there's always been Adolf Hitlers. There's always been tyrants and murderers and killers and cold-blooded killers. But you can see how society now at large is being made more and more indifferent towards human life, cold and callous, uncaring, insensitive. And you can see how it's just sped up just over the last couple decades. These things have sped up. Human behavior, for the most part, especially here in America, we're just watching it degenerate. We're just watching people become almost barbaric in their behavior, aren't we? We're seeing these things get worse. And then people are just sitting down. And a big part of it is because of people's addiction to the entertainment industry. People are sitting down and they're just watching and feeding and filling themselves up with every kind of vile, perverse, murdering, cold-blooded, angry thing. And they look at it as entertainment, not knowing this is desensitizing them. It's dulling them. It's removing their natural affections and their feelings towards human life. So as these things increase more and more, times are going to get tougher and tougher and tougher. People are going to get meaner and meaner, more and more fierce and harsh, even to the point of being savage in their behavior. So Jesus said these times were coming, and we need to get ourselves ready for it. I said we need to get ourselves ready for it. We need to build ourselves up more and more in God's word. And behold more and more God's godliness. And we got to do everything we can to make ourselves more tender and more sensitive. We got a society, a world that's trying to make us callous. So we've got to work that much harder to make ourselves more tender, more sensitive, more loving, less indifferent, right? We got to work harder at it. Because it doesn't come as easy anymore because of what we're being surrounded by. So we need to guard our heart. We need to protect ourselves. And we need to study God's word and allow ourselves to be transformed into his image. Let me remind you of the scripture over in Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 in verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable can literally be translated spiritual, and the word service there can be translated worship. I read out of the New King James Bible, but this particular translation here for this verse isn't very good. It really should be translated a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Presenting your bodies holy to God. It's one way how you worship him. He goes on in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You got to work at not allowing yourself to become like the world. You got to present your body a living sacrifice to God. You got to take control of that flesh of yours. And you got to renew your mind. You got to renew your mind with God's word. And he says if you'll do that, you'll be transformed. Now that word transformed literally means to be transfigured or turned inside out. So in other words, when you're renewing your mind with God's word, you're not just you shouldn't just be educating your head. You should be approaching the scriptures in faith so that the Spirit of God is literally taking the Christ that is in you, the new nature that is in you through the new birth, the life of God that's in you, and he's taking it and he is bringing it to the outside. Taking what's on the inside and bringing it to the outside. So something supernatural is happening when you and I get in the Word of God by faith. Now if we just get in there like we're going to figure it out and just approach it intellectually, then we're just going to educate our heads. But if we approach it as this is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is going to transform our lives through it, that's exactly what will happen. And what's in us will begin to get on us, begin to manifest on us. And that is also what is prophesied to come in these last days. As darkness, as men become more and more evil and controlled by the powers of darkness, spiritual evil forces, and as all that begins to come to fullness, there are those in the church, there are believers who also are pressing in, who are pressing in and who are being transformed, who are allowing the nature of God that is in them to begin to manifest on them so that His life, His light, His goodness is radiating forth from them. That's what you and I are getting ready for. To radiate. To radiate in these last days. And of course, we see that over in Isaiah 60. The prophet Isaiah, he saw these times. Talking about the last days. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. So I mean, folks are going to get nasty. They're going to become savage. They're going to be full of the darkness of the devil. It's going to get bad, really bad out there. But oh, glory to God, in us and out of us comes the glory, the goodness of God. How many people know light is greater than darkness? So He says, arise and shine, for your light has come. Get up! Turn it loose. Turn it on and turn it loose. In other words, don't be intimidated in these last days to be some of the few. The few that shine with the goodness and kindness and love of God. You're going to look peculiar. You're going to look strange. Because everybody's going one direction. But stand up anyhow. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Stand up and let the light shine. Be different. And I believe when we step out of our comfort zone by faith in the light of God that's in us, and we stand up by faith to confront the darkness with the love and life of Jesus, boom, that's when you're going to really see it shine. That's when you're really going to see the glory of God. Can't sit here and hide and say, now, Lord, if you'll just increase the light, I'll get up and I'll shine. You know, I'll do it, Lord. Go ahead, just you increase the light, and that'll make me bold. And then I'll step out and I'll let it shine. It's not how it works. You, by faith in His word, believing what He said is in you. Who is in you? What you have. You, by faith, fearlessly stand up. And when you do, that's when you'll discover things in you that you didn't know were even there. I'm telling you, it's what's an amazing thing. You know, I've seen it. I see it constantly in my life as a minister. You know, because I'm constantly stepping out and ministering the word of God. And whenever I do, I mean, when it's over, I just go, wow, Jesus. Because there's so many things that went through my mind that I had never thought of before. There's things that come out of my mouth that I thought, you know, I've never said before. And I get edified and educated through the whole experience. But I mean, it goes all the way back when I was newly saved. And I just started ministering to friends and family. And, you know, I was downloading the word into my heart. I was feeding on the word of God, you know. But, I mean, I had a full-time job. Had a business I was running back in New York, a little cafe. And, you know, had other things going on. So it's not like I was just reading the word of God all day long. But, you know, I spent time with the Lord every day. You know, get filled upon the word of God and things like that. And then you'd start ministering to people. And next thing you know, man, you'd get all kinds of utterance. Have you know what I'm talking about? And you just start ministering to them. And you just start saying things to them. You know, you just outdo yourself because it's not just you. It's the Holy Spirit. You've put yourself in a position now to step out, be a light, be a witness, share the good news with folks, not worried about what their reaction's going to be. They're going to reject you or whatever. You just step out there, you minister, and next thing you know, you experience glory. You experience glory. Well, now we're talking about it on a much greater level. Much greater level. Stepping out there in the face of all this darkness. And he says, the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon you. And he says in verse 3, the Gentiles, the heathen we could say, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. You got to get up first. You got to rise up first. You got to step out first. And then it's going to be seen. It's going to be seen by you and seen by them. You're not going to see it upon you until you step out by faith. But they're going to see it. They're going to come. I believe the church is going to light up like a neon sign in these last days. We are going to shine brighter than we have ever shone before. He goes on in verse 4. He says, lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Your daughter shall be nursed at your side. These are talking about spiritual sons, spiritual daughters, people getting saved because of you, because of your light, because of your witness. Verse 5, then you shall see and become radiant. Now you're really going to step out. Now you're really going to shine. And your heart shall swell with joy because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the sea of humanity that he's talking about there. And then he says, the wealth of the heathen, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Their wealth is going to come to you. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian, and he begins to go on. They shall bring gold and incense. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Verse 11, he says, therefore your gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day or night, that men may bring to you the wealth of the Gentiles and their kings in procession. These are some pretty amazing times that are up ahead. Well, the church is going to be so bright, people are going to come running to our light. Come running to our light. In fact, back here in Isaiah 45, verse 14, thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and of the Sabines, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. Now, Egypt is a type of the world system. Where the lost live. You and I are in the kingdom of God. We're not in Egypt. And he says, folks are going to come to you. They shall walk behind you. They shall come over in chains. They shall bow down to you. How many know there's people chained in darkness? Spiritual chains. In spiritual bondage. It says, they're going to come over to you. And bow down to you. They shall make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. And there is no other. There is no other God. Now think about that. God is going to be so on display through the church. He's going to be so big on us. His glory is going to be so radiating from our lives that folks that are chained in darkness, living in the world, under the power of Satan, they're going to come over to us and they're going to fall down before us and say, truly, he said, they're going to say, surely God is in you and there is no other. Now, how are they going to know God is in you? Because you're going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's why they're going to know God is in you. They're going to see God in us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you get a vision for this? Can you see this happening? Verse 15, truly you are God who hides yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Well, where does he hide himself? Well, he's hid himself in you and I. He's in you and I. They shall be ashamed, they also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. So those are the kind of things that are coming. So when we're talking about devastation and disaster and troubling times coming upon planet Earth, also understand the kind of glorious times you and I are coming into. You and I are coming into amazing times. This is the time for the light of God to shine like never before. So we're not going to approach dark times in fear. We're going to approach it in faith, knowing that God is going to make a difference, show a distinction between those who trust in him and those who don't. There's coming a dividing line where it's going to become very clear who's got him and who don't. A lot of folks pretend to have him. A lot of folks are full of religion. They're not full of God. They don't have a relationship with the Lord, but they got great spiritual lingo. They know how to say all the right things. Amen. Amen. They know how to say all the right things. They know how to act and do all those churchy things. And they aren't full of God at all. They're full of hypocrisy and self-seeking. Are you with me? But a part of what's going to happen in the last days, according to the book of Revelation, is there's going to be a separating of the hot and the cold. And everything in the middle is going to get spewed out. That's what Jesus said. Everything in the middle, everything that tries to play it safe, everything that's just lukewarmy, that's going to be spewed out in these last days, because the hot is going to get exceedingly hot and the cold are going to get exceedingly cold. In fact, I believe that the cold getting exceedingly cold is what's going to motivate the hot to go ahead and get even hotter. Amen. They're going to get it. Because see, it's getting really cold. We need to turn up the heat over here. And then the folks in the middle, some are either going to jump on the Lord's side and make a decision to live a hot life for Jesus, or there's going to be those that are going to jump on the cold side and say, well, it's not worth it following him. A lot of people that look like they're in the church today, the church world at large, are going to be out. They're going to leave. And Jesus even talks about it. He talks about a time where many are going to be offended and betray one another. So there's going to be a lot of folks getting offended in these last days. A lot of folks getting offended in these last days. So what side are you on? Have you made the decision that you're just going to get hotter? From here on out, I'm just getting hotter. You might as well start doing it now. There's no sense in waiting around. You might as well go ahead and just turn up the heat now. Turn up the heat now. You know, over here in Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, with the prayers of the saints, ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake." Now, at first you might think, well, that don't sound very good. I mean, he throws his censer to the earth, and I mean, there's all this ruckus taking place. There's lightnings, there's noises, thunderings, there's an earthquake. But if you hold your place there and go back to chapter 4, we see here in verse 1, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed with white robes. And they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. We can say noises. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now notice that. From the throne of God, lightning, thunder, voices, noises. And we know the place was shaken like an earthquake too, because Isaiah chapter 6 describes it. When Isaiah was taken up to the throne of God, he said he heard those voices and the whole place shook. So there's the earthquake. This is what's going on in the throne room right now. The place is shaking. Lightning is flashing. There is thunder rolling. I mean, the place is action-packed. It's full of power. I mean, this is the center of all creation right here. The throne of God. And this power is going out. Lightning, thunder, earthquakes, noises, all these things are taking place. So that's what we see at the throne of God, and we can very clearly see that it's a good thing. Right? It's a good thing. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light, brings light, gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of thy word brings light. And the Bible says, God, when he speaks, he thunders from the heavens. And you think about lightning and thunder, they both happen at the same time. Right? I mean, there's that explosion, the thunder, and then the lightning flashes. It all happens at the same time. But because light travels faster, we see the lightning before we hear the thunder. But they both happen at the same time. You know, the natural is preaching about the spiritual. When God speaks, he thunders. His voice is like thunder, and the entrance of his word brings light. It's like lightning. So when you get revelation from God, it's like a lightning bolt from the throne hits you. Boom! I mean, you know, you're sitting there and you're just getting revelation from God, but in the spirit. In the spirit, what are the devils seeing? What are the angels seeing? They're looking, going, look over there. There's a big storm taking place over there. I'm going to go over there and see what's going on. Angels, demons, they all come over and see what's going on. And there you are. Lightning, thunder coming into your house. Right? And all of a sudden, one angel looks to the other angel and says, alive! Alive! He's alive! Life of the life of God. The lightnings of heaven. I'm telling you, there should be a thunder and lightning storm constantly in the spirit over Life of Faith Bible Church whenever we're here. When we come into this house, there should be a storm taking place in the spirit. I mean, it can't be hidden when you receive revelation from God. That's why the Bible says the devil comes immediately to steal the word. How does he know when the word's been sown to be able to come and steal it? Because he sees it. The demons see it. And instead of running, they were a smart devil, they'd run. But instead, what they do is they run into it to try to steal it from you. And you got to make the devil regret that. You got to make the devil regret that. Man, I just got a revelation from God. And man, I know more now than I knew before. You're in trouble, Mr. Devil. You should be running the other direction. You ain't stealing this word from me. Come on. Amen. These are real things. We got to stir ourselves up concerning these things. So when we come back to chapter 8, here the prayers of the saints is coming up to God. And it got God so upset, he told the angel, I don't want to hear the praying anymore. You understand? So the angel said, I understand, boss. The angel took the censer and said, you nagging, praying, saints. And he threw this censer down at us and started hitting us with lightning and thunder and earthquakes, and everybody began to die. That wouldn't make sense, would it? No, it wouldn't make sense at all. No, they were praying. Incense is coming up. And what happened? They got their prayers answered for revival. They got their prayers answered for a move of God. They got their prayers answered for the power of God to come. And that's exactly what happened. What is there around the throne of God is taken and it's hurled to the earth in great abundance. Verse 5. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire. How many want some of the fire of the Holy Ghost? Took fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquake. That's a move of God. That's the glory of God. See, the big thing about interpreting the Bible, especially when it comes over to the book of Revelation, you got to interpret the Bible with the Bible. Don't try to interpret the Bible with what you think or with today's current events. You got to interpret the Bible with the Bible. So when he says he threw it to the earth and there were thunders and lightnings and earthquake, well, where do we see these things? Where do we see lightning, thunder, and earthquake? Do we see these things in the negative or in the positive? We see these things in the Bible when it's referring to the glory of God. How many people remember Exodus 19 with Mount Sinai? Moses goes up the mountain, and what happens? Hold your place. Can you just hold your place in Revelation? Go to Exodus 19. God comes down. He's delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses. Verse 19, it says, then Moses brought the people out the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. So there's fire. And there's earthquake. Why? Because God is manifesting in the earth. God's glory has come down upon this mountain. And the mountain's getting overwhelmed. It's smoking. Woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. We need some smoking saints in these last days. Come on, we need some saints. I'm talking about the glory. Arise and shine, your light is coming, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. We're talking about this glory right here. Coming down upon you and I, resting upon us. And then again, verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him by voice. There's the voice of God. You got the lightning, you got the fire, you got the smoke, you got the voice of God, and you got the trumpet. Right here in the book of Exodus, all showing, describing the glory of God. This is the glory of God. That first trumpet is the glory of God. It's not all doom and gloom, folks. It's not doom and gloom for you and I who are believers in the Lord Jesus. You and I who are believers in the glory of God, that God manifests in the flesh. God manifests in the flesh. For those that believe that, they're going to see him manifest in the flesh in these last days. It's going to increase more and more upon our life. Then you come over to chapter 20 in verse 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sounding of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And see, now here's a group of folks. They came to church. They came out and they thought they were just going to play church at the mountain. Moses was going to deliver a really nice message today. And God came down. That was a little much. That's just a little too much. I don't think we need to be fanatical. I think everything should be done very dignified and nice because this is church. This is God. Yeah, it is. He came down and these folks, they started backstepping. They backed up. And they said, Moses, now you can deliver messages to us, but don't let God manifest. And we really don't want to hear from God for ourselves. Because then we're going to have to die to ourselves. We can't live for ourselves anymore. We don't want that. We want to live for ourselves. We like American Idol. We don't want to let go of the world. So you just tell us what the things that God says. And we can play the hypocrite. But we can't play the hypocrite in the presence of God because he sees right through us. See, that's what's coming in the last days. There's a line being drawn. Verse 20, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you so that you may not sin. This is good for you guys. Get a hold of this. It'll keep you from sin. And they're like, we know. That's why we don't like it. We like a church where we can sin and still church. See, we like God and sin together. That's nice because we're just old sinners saved by God. We like that place. But you see, that's what's getting spewed out in these last days. That's not going to be able to survive in these last days. The only way you're going to survive in these last days is you're going to have to be burning up for his love. You're going to have to be hot and on fire for God. Because it's getting that cold, it's getting that evil, it's getting that dark in the world. You won't make it in the middle anymore. People will not make it in the middle anymore. Are you hearing me? So these folks, you know, they rejected it. Moses said, no, this is good, come on. But they all pulled back. Verse 21, so the people stood afar off. But Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. He went into the presence of God. Does that describe you? We're going into the glory of God. We're going to go into the presence of God. We're going to draw near to him. We're not going to pull back. We're not going to be afraid of his manifested presence. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Come back here to Revelation chapter 8. Actually, Isaiah again. Isaiah 33. In verse 14, it says, the sinners in Zion are afraid. That's interesting. The sinners in Zion. Now, Zion, according to the New Testament, book of Hebrews, is the church. It was Israel, but now it's the church. The church is called Zion. So we could say the sinners in church are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. And then he tells you why. Who among us shall dwell with devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? So again, he's talking about the fire of God. Now, this is very key to understanding the last days. Because God's fire has a lot to do with these times. And has a lot to do with us being able to make it in these last days. We got to be full of the fire of God. Remember the 10 virgins Jesus talked about? And 5 were foolish, 5 were wise, 5 had oil in their lamps, the other 5 didn't have much oil in their lamps. And then that time of darkness hit, and in the middle of the night, at midnight, a cry went out, and they rose up in that dark hour. They rose up and they all began to trim their lamps, and the ones that were foolish realized they didn't have enough oil to make it through this. Now they had some oil, but they didn't have enough to make it through this time of darkness. But the wise had their lamps full of oil. And what was significant about that was that they were able to keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning through that time of darkness. The other ones, their lights went out. They lost the fire. So Jesus even says it right there. See, you got folks, they got oil, they got some fire, but they don't have a whole lot. So you and I, it's time to get radical. Come on, it's time to get, we don't want just enough fire to make us warm. Lukewarm. We want enough fire to make us hot. Fanatical. Must get a hold of it right now, bless God. Because it's getting cold. It's getting real cold out there. And we need to start now putting extra wood on the fire. Come on. What do you mean? Start building disciplines into your life where you are seeking him. You're getting to know him. You are filling your mouth with his praises. You are worshiping him and getting fanatical about it. Come on. You don't want to be this half in and half out. Someone trying to go down the middle of the road here with God. No, you got to get completely over on God's side now. Come on. We got to get totally over on God's side. Bible says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. But the day of the Lord is near to those in the valley of decision. It's time to make the decision. If you're for God, then get on his side. If not, then go worship the devil. Go out here, worship the devil, and walk in the darkness. But don't try to stay in the middle of the road. It's time now to get fully over on the Lord's side. Those are the ones that are going to make it in these last days. Those are the ones that are going to be overcomers in these last days. I want to overcome. I want to stand there and receive an overcomer's crown. There is an overcomer's crown for those that overcome in these last days. Amen? They're taking measurements now. And they're nice crowns, too. They're gold and everything else. Did you see some of these crowns these elders had that we just read about? They're very nice. They're very real. And you could have one day. We're not just going to be victims down here. Come on. These folks are going to make it to heaven, but they're just going to be victims down here, victims of that darkness. When God's called them to live a victorious life, an on fire for God life. An on fire for God life is a victorious life. Amen. And you got to get a hold of it that the only life there is to live is an on fire for God life. That's the only real life to live, is an on fire for God life. Passionate about him. Chapter 8 of Revelation. So we see all this, the thunderings, the lightnings, and now we come to chapter 8, verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and watch this, and a hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and the green grass was burned up. Now, what's this? Well, is it just natural? Hail and fire coming out of heaven? Well, there's a natural side to these things. But first and foremost, John, who wrote these things, is seeing into the realm of the Spirit. That's where he's seeing these things. He's describing things that he's seeing in the Spirit. And notice he says, hail and fire. Hail, what is hail? That is ice. Ice falling from heaven. And then fire falling from heaven. You got hot and cold coming down. So first we see lightnings, thunders, we see the glory of God, we see a great move of God in the earth, and then what begins to happen? Then we see hail, we see ice cold, and we see red hot. Red hot. Those that are on fire for God, and those that are being made ice cold. And then when the two come together, it's mingled with blood because of the clash of hot and cold. So there's a natural side to these things. You know, is there going to be extreme weather conditions? Sure. We're going to see, you know, big hail storms and damaging hail and I don't know, fire. I guess that'd probably be real dangerous lightning and so forth, causing fires and things like that. Sure, we're going to see an increase of those things. But in the Spirit, there's a spiritual language here, spiritual significance here, where we see people being made as cold as ice and people being set on fire. And then you have the conflict of those two things causing there to be blood shed in the earth. Amen. And that's a terrible way to dismiss this congregation. That's a terrible way to end it right there. But I just feel like that's it. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So get ready for the first trumpet. Praise the Lord God Almighty. These are exciting times. These are sobering times too. Exciting, but yes, also very sobering as well. And we need to be sobered up because the whole world is so intoxicated with La La Land, with deception, with lies, with fantasy. The whole world is just intoxicated, drifting through life, unaware of spiritual reality. So, you know, we need that sniffy soil of the Spirit. We need to wake up. We need to rise up, stir ourselves up, say, bless God, I'm one of the hot ones. I'm one of the on fire for ones. Praise God. Amen. Fire out of heaven. That's who we are. Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet and let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.